My mind keeps like blowing up with excitement and joy.
I have to ask, is the bird in the background like a Floridian bird, or is that a pet bird? Or
It's a dog.
what?
Yeah.
It's a dachshund.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Welcome to the Ripple Effect Martial Arts Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ripple Effect Martial Arts Podcast. Today, we're really honored to have with us Mr. Caleb White and Miss Sandy White. This is Caleb's grandmother, and they are going to talk to us about their experience in the black belt system and their black belt journey and what that has meant to their lives. So welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much, you guys, for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So can we start with, where did karate even come into play? How did you come to start training?
So when I was little, I mean, I have like videos from when I was like a tiny kid, around 5, 4. I used to watch like Ninja Turtles and like combat things. And I was like, oh, wow, I want to be like that. I want to do all those cool kicks and techniques. So, and then one day we found Woodward Martial Arts. And we're like, oh, yeah, let's put Caleb in this. And I was like, I loved it.
Caleb was 5 when he started into Woodward Martial Arts, and they are Tangsudo, which I know is a little different than what you're used to. But he started when he was 5. And Master Lapin would always say, Caleb, what do you want to do when you grow up? He said, I want to be a master. And from the time he was 5, he's always said that. So he's 14 now in second degree and continues to keep going.
So for anyone who doesn't really know, what does that mean to be a second degree? You're in your first degree black belt. About 4 years of training. What goes through your mind going, well, I'm going to continue and earn a second degree?
Goes to my mind probably the challenges that I'm going to face while trying to earn. Yeah, most likely challenges, stuff like that.
And the requirements of what you're required to do as far as your training, still 2 classes a week plus community service hours.
Just remembering everything.
Remembering. I don't know how he remembers what he does. It amazes me still.
I agree. It is amazing. And sometimes we kind of draw an analogy to high school, college, graduate school. There's just so much that goes into it. Because if, for anyone who hasn't earned a black belt, would you say, either of you, it takes a lot of effort, right? There are a lot of requirements just to earn that first degree.
It's a lot of family involvement, commitment, time spent, lots of practice and tournaments, and it has to be a family affair. It's not just him. It's us as a family, as part of his journey.
Can you talk a little bit about that family commitment part? How has your family supported you in your black belt journey?
So, I mean, I had a lot of like, because of my dad, I used to like, I mean, I didn't really have a father figure. And so having my whole family around, like, gave me a boost of encouragement. And then them coming to the tournaments, regionals, just watch me do my demo performances, taking me places for them. It just gives me a lot of confidence and encouragement to continue.
His dad is in his life, but his dad had a car accident when Caleb was 2. And had suffered a severe traumatic brain injury. So Chad's ability to be a father is not what a normal father would be. I said, I have 2 teenagers again now. So I've got Caleb and I have Chad, which is his dad. But Chad goes to all of our competitions. He still supports him and is there. Him and his mom and his stepdad, we do things as a family. For Caleb.
Do you feel like Chad, your dad, derives something from your accomplishments as a black belt? I mean, emotionally, let's say. He comes to your tournaments, he probably sees you in classes maybe, and at tests, he might see you teaching other students. And yeah. I'm a father too. And when I see this in my kids, it's just incredibly powerful how much it means to me. And I bet to your dad too.
He's very proud. That's why we chose, when I talked to Master Macy, Chad, his dad, goes to a rehab facility twice a week for people with just traumatic brain injury. And when I knew Caleb still has 2.5 years to test for third degree, but we were trying to figure out what project he could use for his community service hours. And I talked to them at Brooks Clubhouse and I asked them, would they be willing for Caleb to teach a white belt class? And she's like, well, I don't know. We'll have to get permission. So she had to do her, approvals. Then I talked to Master Macy and asked her what she felt about it. And she was at all of it. And so Caleb's already had two classes and they achieved their white belts. I've got pictures of them throughout that process. And the one lady,
How are you?
they can't see me. Chad's saying, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
Nice
good.
to
How are
see y'all.
you? Good. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you, he says. So when I asked, if that was a project that we could do, because it was meaningful for us to help give back to people that are in Chad's situation. And Caleb taught his first session, and he's got two more classes at the end of the month with another group of people. There were like 23 people
Oh yeah, there's all.
that achieved their white belt. The director said she had never seen a class so engaged in what he was showing them and their involvement. And even though their mobility was limited, some of them sit, some were in wheelchairs, but yet they could tell the magic words and how to show respect. And the director said she'd never seen anything like it. She was so pleased with it. So Master Macy volunteered to donate the white belts, and we had certificates printed out to them. So after their sessions of, they could recite, the magic words and how to show respect, and they could do the first four moves. And then Caleb was able to hand them a certificate, tie their white belts on them. And one of the ladies said, I can't wait to show my daddy.
Oh.
That hit my heart because I understand as a mom of Chad, and Chad said even to me, So, we plan to do it again, one more session this year, and we're going to do it again next summer. And that'll go towards his third degree black belt community service requirements.
Caleb, do you remember what it was like being 5 years old and earning your white belt? That might be an unfamiliar thing to people. Earning a white belt, well, why don't you just start as a white belt? What did that mean to you?
I mean, well, you do get a white belt,
Yeah, but you
but
started out at Tiny Tiger's Little Dragon, so he wasn't really official white belt at first.
yeah.
You had a real
So
early start.
I don't really remember a lot, but I remember my instructors that taught that left now.
Mr. Jarrett,
Yeah, Manzi. Mr.
Mr.
Manzi.
Manzi.
Yeah, he was one of my instructors. But yeah, I don't really remember a lot, but they're kind of faint. I mean, it was a great
And you
experience, though.
remember Master Lapin's daughter, Misha.
Miss Misha, oh
Miss
yeah.
Misha, I mean, those people stick out in his mind because he was so young and they mold. And I told Master Lapin, I said, he is where he's at today because of your leadership and your commitment and just encouraging him along the way. Caleb is amazing to us. I'm so proud of him myself to overcome the obstacles because of our blended family and his dad's, I don't say disabilities, I say abilities. We work through it every day, so it's been a journey.
I think that the way that you are speaking about each other and to each other and to the people that you know is really reflective of the black belt mentality. You have to learn to communicate, right? What do the magic words mean to you, Caleb?
Shows that you respect your everybody actually. So saying yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, please, thank you, you're welcome, stuff like that. That just shows that you're willing to give respect. And if you want respect back, you have to give it to him first.
And I'm guessing that you use the magic words. You give respect to your grandmother, to your dad, to your teachers. But I'm guessing also that you do it when you go into a 7-Eleven or to a police officer or to anyone you meet. Probably, is that true?
Yes, sir. So, like in public, anybody asks me questions, be as polite as I can, using my magic words. The first, I think this is from Master Thompson. So, first time, like we were in an instructor meeting, first time meeting someone is like the key thing. So, the first reaction with somebody is like the most important thing, because if you first like meet someone and have a bad impression with them, they'll be like, oh no, this guy's not right. So, the first impression's best thing you could probably do.
It gives someone a sense that you care. And I imagine with your students at your dad's campus, how did they respond to you? How did that feel? Were they all adults?
Yeah, they're all adults. It felt, see, I'm used to teaching younger kids than me, not adults. So it wasn't comfortable or uncomfortable. It was, I found it all right. But they knew. They knew how to say yes, sir, no, sir, and they were using it. Sometimes they just had to be reminded. I mean, I didn't have to, like, I didn't force them to say it.
You would give him
I would give them key things like, oh, make sure we use our magic words, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am,
or
yeah,
you would
ma'am.
give him,
Yeah. Or like,
cues like, what do you sh
so
do?
one way we show respect, I go like this. They go like eye contact. Now, the second way we show respect, listening the first time, like, yeah, there you go, good job. So just little I'm trying to think of the word.
Cues.
Yeah, cues.
These are all people 17 and adult that are in this rehab facility. Chad was 32 when he had his car accident, his dad. So Caleb doesn't remember Chad any other way than how he is now. So Caleb's been around it all of his life, more or less. And I think that's why he is able to communicate well with these clients. Because they're not really patients, because it's not in a house facility. This is a volunteer group that goes there. But yet, one girl stuck out in my mind. And when Caleb handed her the certificate and tied her belt on, she said, I can't wait to show my daddy. And that just broke my heart. And I said, Caleb, how did that make you feel?
I feel my heart filled like joy, excitement, love, connection, and it made me super happy.
So these are things that you're watching Ninja Turtles when you're younger and going, I want to be like that. That's everyone, right? That's me too. I'm way older. Way back when I was younger, I saw Ninja Turtles and all that stuff, and I wanted to use my fists and feet, right? Love, connection, leadership. These are things that didn't necessarily stimulate me, but we're just part of the experience of earning a black belt and becoming part of that community. Oh, how do you feel about taking not just your physical skills, but your mental and emotional and social skills out into the world?
Just like in the karate studio, basically, I just treat everybody with respect. Yeah, I'd be as kind as I possibly can, stuff like that.
Treating people equal.
Yeah, equal.
And that is probably something that you experienced in the course of your black belt experience as a student and a teacher. There are people with differing abilities, right? Differing ages. How does that work? What is that like when you are in front of a class and there are some students that are really struggling and some that are way ahead? How do you deal with that?
If I had SWAT members, the higher ranking SWAT members, like black belt almost, I would see if they can take the people that are going a lot faster than the other kids, and I'll take the other kids. So it's like almost same class, just parting it. Stuff like, yeah.
I've watched him with a couple people there that have some learning disabilities, and I'm kind of at awe at how he handles himself with them, the patience he shows them, to get their attention. He doesn't get frustrated. He'll just say, "No, let's do this," and he gets their attention back and they respond to him. And I think it's because of his experiences with his dad. He knows how to try to interact with them, and it doesn't scare him. It kind of gives him the opportunity to help them succeed.
You can tell right now, Caleb, that you have poise. That's kind of a weird word, but you demonstrate it right now. Your grandmother said you're not afraid, that you listen, that you're able to deal with different challenges that people can have. And I can tell that just by the way you're sitting and talking and looking right now. And that's something that for me, it was developed. I wasn't born with it. And the black belt training helped develop that really measurably. Do you feel like that? Or have you always had this kind of poise, or has it grown in the course of your training?
But I would say it'd grow, get stronger, and learn more. Learning more is a big key factor how I've grown. Because when I was lower ranks, I was very immature. I was not crazy, but I wouldn't focus well. And over time in ranks, I've matured, which is a great thing.
What you said about drawing in SWAT members, which to anyone who doesn't know, what is a member of the SWAT team in karate?
SWATing is just, we used to say CIT, certified in
Instructor
instructor
training.
training. Yeah. So it would be GUPS, which are like not black belts, helping out in class. And that's basically SWATing. So lower ranks helping out in classes. That's about it.
And it takes a leader to assign a SWAT role, right? You have to say, hey, this person needs help. Can you go help them? That's leadership. What is that like for you? What goes through your mind when you say, hey, I need to not just do it myself, but I have to have someone else help me out?
So it's almost like a captain on a ship. You have to assign roles because some SWAT members don't know what they're doing. So you have to step up and be that leader to say, "Hey, you guys do that," and then you do that. So it's almost like a captain role almost.
Give them specific jobs to show you do this or that.
Yeah, which is so meaningful. And that's so important. As you continue to train and toward becoming a master, what else do you see happening in your life?
You know what you first wanted to do, but I don't know that it. He always said he wanted to be a veterinarian, but I don't know as he's gotten older, he has changed his idea or not.
Also, becoming a master, owning a studio was a one big thing I wanted to do. And just now that I'm teaching a lot more often, I love to teach now. So it's hopefully I get to teach more, and I like travel. I'm on this demo team, which called Harong Dong Li HDO. It's a world demo team, only like around 30 people on it around the whole world. And just traveling around the whole world, meeting different World Tong Soo Do Association members, which is awesome. It's like instructors, how instructors teach differently, cool drills they do. It's awesome. So just my mind keeps like blowing up with excitement and joy. Learning new things, which is just awesome. So one day I'd like to actually instruct for HDO, meeting new people, instructors, and yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Ripple Effect Martial Arts Podcast. Find podcasts and more at rippleeffectmartialarts.com.